The meaning of Sikh baptism is a discussion that took place between Paisai Pai Ranteer Singh in prison with his companion Paisai Pai Kartar Singh, Canadian. Both sentenced to life for trying to get the British out of India, but they weren't successful. They were caught, sentenced to life imprisonment. Some of their associates were hanged. They've been in the prison together for about 7-8 years now. But Paisai would never actually say anything about another person's spiritual state. But on this odd occasion, Paisai used some words that really struck Pai Kartar Singh deeply. He said, "Prem hai, virag hai, par afsos ras nahi." When he was doing the Sukhna Sahib part. And it's this ras nahi, what's this divinely taste? What's this amrit taste that he's lacking? He wants to know from Paisai. And he's in the prison, so he can't just go to Paisai and meet him. They have to wait till the prison's doors are open, until he gets time. Now he's saying, "I've got to ask Paisai what he really means by that." But he also knows that Paisai is not that sort of person who's very forthcoming about these issues. He's not always obliging. And he can also be irritated by your presence and say, "Go away." So he knows how Paisai's temperament is, but he's hoping that on this particular occasion, Paisai will relent and guide him. So it goes on now. The actual discussion starts now. And this is Pai Kartar Singh. "Paisai, I came quietly, fearing that you may not be disturbed, and greeted you softly in a whispering voice, and yet you feel disturbed." Well, when Kartar Singh went to the prison cell and there were doors open, he said in his own very soft voice, "Vaheguru Ji Ka Khalsa, Vaheguru Ji Ki Fateh." That way. And Paisai immediately remarked, "Hun aa gaya, you come now to disturb me, have you?" And he said, "But I only said it so softly that you wouldn't be disturbed." Paisai, "You think that only loud voice and speech can disturb me? Do you not believe that besides these outer senses of sight and hearing, there is an inner intuition," your word, "inner intuition which can hear, see, and feel things much better? You have spoken about them from your own knowledge and experience." So you've spoken about them. You should know about them. Kartar Singh, "I have seen many phenomena in sleep and waking state, but I do not have the potency to use these powers. I do not possess siddhis." See, I don't possess these riddhiyan siddhiyan. I know about them. "This morning, your comments on my recitation upset me greatly." Said, "Your comments about my part and my state of mind has really upset me. I feel deeply hurt, and I hope you will do something to heal the wounds, because no earthly physician can heal it." This is not a pain for the worldly physicians. It's for you. You said the words. Paisai, "Thank God that he has graciously made you feel that besides outward physical and mental powers, there are within you spiritual and divine powers also. If the Guru has not bestowed these powers on you, it is for your own benefit. You do not yet deserve to have them." He said, "If Guru has given you them powers, then you don't deserve them. It's a good thing he hasn't given you them. "These divine powers are given to those who possess them and yet live humbly as human beings. They never misuse them. They are given to people who are tolerant, forgiving, and helpful to others. People lacking these virtues get trapped in these occult powers and face misery and trouble. They cannot reap the fruit of true contemplation. No one can achieve God. Be egoistic, willpower of any yoga, so many having exhausted themselves, practicing egoistically yoga asanas, donning the robes of some ascetic school, they wander about searching something other than God, and they suffer." This is Gurbani's translation now. The occult powers which they seek and for which they strive are low cravings. Wherever there is such a craving, there the name of God will not reside. So if you're craving for occult powers, riddhiya siddhiya, then there's no name inside you. The occult powers and the powers to perform miracles are unspiritual activities and tendencies. Gurbani. In Sikhism, siddhiyas and use of occult powers are types of attachments which must be discarded. People who indulge in them are so egoistically absorbed in them that the name of God does not reside in their hearts. Ridh siddhsa moha namna vase manai. A devout and enlightened Sikh would never get involved in them. But unfortunately, a lot of people do get involved because they think it's an extraordinary thing to happen, so they think they've been blessed, when actually it could be a curse that they will drive them away from God rather than near God. A devout and enlightened Sikh would never get involved in them. The Siddhas, Gurbani, the Siddhas learn many asanas. Their mind lustily craves for occult powers to perform miracles and acquire treasures. They never acquire peace, contentment, and satisfaction. They might get them occult powers, but they'll never get peace, contentment, and satisfaction. Peace and satisfaction are attained by meeting the sages and contemplating on the name of God. Though thou art adept in siddhiyas, endowed with occult powers and powers to acquire wealth, thou can change thy shape and at will can be seen and become unseen. Though men revere and adore thee, even so, man, beware lest thou forget and remember not the name of God. Qurbani. Now, Paisa, consider one farmer who reaps some crops even before they are ripe, and either sells the unique crops or feeds them to the animals. Consider another farmer who lets them become ripe and reaps a rich harvest and uses the grain wisely. Those who acquire siddhis and use them before they are morally and spiritually mature are like the first farmer who destroy their fields. They use them before they come ripe, so they never get the full price for them. They waste their labor. Such people never come to the profounder experiences of contemplation of the divine name, nor can they attain peace and contentment. What is ras? Aesthetic flavor is the word is used. Or amrit flavor, elixir. Is there such a thing? Does it exist? Well, Paisav has hinted, prem hai, virag hai, par ras nahi. And there are the three words Paisav used. And that was pained by Kartar Singh mostly. And this is Paisav now speaking. It is clear from the scriptural quotations given in the previous chapter from the Siddha Ghost that it is dangerous to fall into the trap of so-called yogic occult powers. Once you become a victim of siddhiyas, you can neither achieve the flavor of contemplating the Namras, nor can you concentrate on his Nam. What do you mean by saying that I have inflicted a deep wound in your heart? I have done nothing of the sort. Tell me about the purpose of your present visit. So Paisav is still pretending or saying that, what hurt have I caused you? What's your problem? You know, why have you come? And Kartar Singh now says, call it whatever you like. For me, the weapon with which you struck me was sharper than the sword and more pointed and piercing than an arrow. And that is why the wound is deep and painful. Your marks this morning on my recitation were subtler and sharper than any weapon. When I was reciting the Sri Sukhmani Sahib, you said there is devotion, prem hai, and eager thirst, barag hai. But how sad that there is no aesthetic flavor, ras, in your recitation. Prem hai, barag hai, par afsos, ras nahi. Now, even to, for Paisav to know that, Paisav must be in a very, very high spiritual vasta, even to, you know, understand what Pai Kartar Singh is going through. I am so seriously disturbed by the last two words of your remarks that I can neither concentrate nor cite my powers. What do you mean by this ras? Ras nahi, that I haven't got. Bhai Sahib, I was greatly impressed by your recitation. He was sweet. He was full of devotion. You had eager thirst. It's enthusiasm and devotion. But out of pity for your spiritual state, these words slipped out of my lips. It wasn't intentional. Again, that's the true sign of a Gurmukh. He doesn't do it intentionally. Unintentionally, he might say something. I have been noticing this shortcoming for the last 6 or 7 years. And only now he mentions it. Not very eager to tell others, is he? In the last prison, we did not get any opportunity to talk to each other. When we did talk among our friends, our companions kept us busy talking about random subjects. The gurus have said, if you give your virtues to a person who knows not their true value, you will thereby throw them away chiefly. So if you give your virtues to a person who's undeserving, you wasted them. You have to be very wise who you tell, who you help. Helping an undeserving person who's not going to be using that will have no effect. If the mysteries of inner life are revealed to people who do not deserve to know them, they are wasted. Then how to judge who deserves and who does not deserve? Gurbani, the name of God, His divine music, are precious treasures which God keeps with the saints. He who accepts the word of God as truth and nothing but the truth, to him these treasures are revealed. Sri Guru Granth Sahib. So now you know what should be the qualities of a person who deserves spiritual knowledge. I have listened to the story of your past life. You got baptized for some selfish interest. Because he knows Kartar Singh for the last 7-8 years. So he knows his past. And Bhai Sahib is saying, yes, you did get baptized. You have got taken amrit. But the reason you got baptized wasn't because you wanted to be baptized. You wanted the amrit. You got baptized for some selfish interest. And not to lead a spiritual life, but for some ulterior motive. By seeking the association of religious men, you have learned something about contemplation and meditation of Islam. But you have not acquired the amrit ras, that ambrosial favor of divine life. Whatever spiritual efforts you made, for that you tried to get a material reward. So whatever you did in terms of a lot of part, a lot of simran, you wanted something for it, some worldly rewards, some material needs. You always prayed for material goods and material needs. See, you wasted your part and prayers on worldly things. That's why you got nowhere. You never prayed for the light of divine Naam. For faith, for selfless service. You never prayed for that. You always prayed for worldly happiness. While I do not blame you for it, your fate was perhaps such. Every evening we pray to God in Reras, evening prayer, for the light of His Naam. In this hymn, the mystery of the aesthetic ras is revealed. And the Shabd is Gujri Mahalla Chautha, Har Ke Jan Satgur Satpurkha, Bino Karon Gurpas. And that's the translation now he's going to do, the translation of that Shabd. O Apostle of God, the true Guru, embodiment of truth, I make before thee, O Enlightener, but one supplication, one binti, one request. We that are low and insignificant worms seek refuge in thee. O true Guru, mercifully inspire me with the light of the true name. Mere meet Gurudev, moko Ram Naam Pragas. My friend, my divine Guru, kindle in me the light of His Naam. Mere meet Gurudev, moko Ram Naam Pragas, Gurmat Naam Mera Pran Sakhai, Har Kirit Hamri Rai Ras. My friend, my divine guru, kindle in me the light of his name. The name of God is my life breath. The praise of the Lord is my creed and faith. Rahau. Blessed and fortunate are the seers of God who have faith in the Lord and are athirst for him. The gift of divine name slakes their thirst. In the company of the saints, their virtues shine forth. Unfortunate, now this is, that was dealing with those blessed souls. Now this body is going to deal with those that are not blessed, those that are gone away from God. Unfortunate and victims of death are they who have not acquired the divine flavor, ras of his name. Cursed and blasphemous is the life of those who have not sought the company of the true Guru. Accursed he the hopes. Accursed be the hopes set on living. And the next body, blessed from birth are those who have taken refuge in the holy company of the true Guru. Hail, all hail to the holy congregation, in whose association is acquired the sweet savour of his presence. In the company of his apostle, O Nanak, the light of his naam is revealed. And that was a translation of the Shabd in Gujri in Rai Ras. Now you can check on it on Sikhi to Max if you come on to afterwards. In these words of the evening prayer, there's no word which cannot be easily understood. Now, Paisa is talking in Punjabi. This is a translation, I remember, of the Punjabi discussion that took place. That's also available in the book called Amrit Ki Hai. This is the English translation. In these words of the evening prayer, there's no word which cannot be easily understood. But have you ever seriously reflected over them? Paisa is saying, look, in this Shabad, there's not any real hard words that you cannot understand. Have you ever taken the time to really reflect on what Guruji is saying? What Guru Ram Das is saying? Kartar Singh. I did reflect over these hymns, but did not realize that I had not attained the blissful flavor of the hymns. I thought the contemplation of the Naam was the divine flavor. So I contemplated the Naam day and night as best as I could. For a year or two, I was in a state of self-intoxication. My companions thought that something is wrong with my health. I considered myself a contemplative, and now I learn from you that I have not even tasted the flavor of divine inspiration. He says, for a couple of years, I spent night and day in meditation. Not for a couple of weeks, not a couple of days, a couple of years. And my friends thought that I, was something wrong with my health. And I genuinely thought that I was really now well above normal spiritual persons. I had attained a highly spiritual state. But since you're now saying that I haven't even got namras, and I thought I'd gone beyond that. Pai said, why do you always talk and brood about the past? What use is it? Why not tread the right path so that you may be blessed with the nectar of divine inspiration? Why cry for mere flavor? You will be blessed with inner peace, inner fragrance, and illumination if you still walk on the right path. So you can have them. You have to walk the right path. Kartar Singh. I wanted to ask you what ras, aesthetic joy is, and now you talk of inner tranquility, fragrance, and what not. All I wanted was what ras. Now you're adding all these other qualities to it. Do all these things exist? You now say one should drink ambrosial nectar with every breath. I saw before coming to this prison how the Sikh baptism was conducted, but the ceremony is called taking the amrit, nectar or Sikh baptism. It is, however, beyond my comprehension how amrit, elixir, can be taken with every breath. How can you take amrit with every breath? You take amrit when you are baptized and that's it. Now you're saying we should take amrit with every breath. Don't understand it. Pai Sahib, It is clear from the events of your earlier life why you remained deprived of the Amrit Ras, a synthetic flavor of elixir. The first mistake you made was to go for baptism without preparing yourself for it. You got baptized just before because other people were getting baptized. Either you became baptized to please other people or just for some other ulterior motive, like posing as an Orthodox Sikh in society. The real Amrit, grace of baptism, is achieved thus. Now this is Gurbani now, Paisav saying, He alone knows what the essence of Amrita is, who knows what it is worth. He says, you will never be able to understand what Amrit is unless you know what the worth of Amrit is. Amrit ki saar soi jaane, Amrit ka bapari jiyo. This is the translation of that line. You did not know what the real value of the grace of baptism was. How could you ever know what Amrit Ras is? The frog resides, this is Gurbani now being translated. The frog resides near the lotus and knows not its fragrance. The bamboo is found close to the sandalwood and remains devoid of sweet smell. The crane lives near the swan, but cannot detect the pearls as the swan can. The philosopher's stone is found among rocks, which are ignorant of its value, and elixir is generally found near poison. The deer knows not the musk within its own navel. The snake is ignorant of the jewel in his head. The bee near the honey. And is a barren woman living near a husband yield no result. The owl gains nothing from the sun, and barley suffers under rain. What are food and clothing to an ailing man? So also the Guru's wisdom does not sprout in a heart which is like clay and barren soil. Separation from God prevents the needs. Separation from God prevents the seeds from sprouting. Just to repeat the last few words, after mentioning all these examples, what are food and clothing to an ailing man? So also the Guru's wisdom, Guru's Gyan, does not sprout in a heart which is like clay and barren soil. Separation from God prevents the seeds from sprouting. There is no need to worry now. You took Amrit baptism only in imitation of other Sikhs or for ulterior motives, without preparing yourself for it. Even then, your baptism has borne fruit. The Guru has fulfilled many of your desires. You have developed a devotion, detachment, and deep longing for higher spiritual values. He says, don't underestimate what you have achieved. You've done well. Even though you took Amrit for other motives, you've still achieved a lot. See, what's banging at Kartar Singh's head is that he hasn't achieved the ultimate prize. But that was only because Paisav let it out. If Paisav never told, he wouldn't even known about it. Now Paisav's trying to console him and say, don't give up. You know, you've done reasonably well. If you preserve in the contemplation of his name, it is possible that the seed that have been sown in your barren heart may sprout after the rain of his grace has fallen on them. The plant may develop yielding fruits. I do not blame you alone. Even those who baptize you without seeing and probing whether you deserved it or not are also to be blamed. So though the Panjipari who took the ceremony, they should have checked on you and said, you're not ready. They should have tested you, prepared your mind and soul before putting into it the seeds of spiritual life. Kartar Singh, do you mean to say that Panj Pyare, the five who baptized, made a mistake? Guru Gobind Singh himself accepted baptism from the Panj Pyare, the five elect ones. People who go and seek baptism are not supposed to question those who baptize. The five are generally selected by the congregation. I do not doubt that they did not baptize me properly. Paisav, I do not question the ability and spiritual authority of the Panj Pyares. The question of choosing those who are morally and spiritually competent is a difficult one. something that does not happen. But what Paisa is saying really there is that a lot of the baptism ceremonies that take place in a lot of gurdwaras and a lot of places, the five who do that seva, basically some of them, all they do is the sangha that wants to be baptized, they call them in as a group and say, do you want to take amrit? And they say, yes, okay, we'll prepare the amrit. Now, some panjpyare, and very few of them, will call them in one by one and saying, yes, you come in now. What do you want? And he'll say, I want amrit. Then they'll say to him, why do you want amrit? You know the price of amrit you got to give? Each one will be interviewed one by one. And that way, they can then decide whether the person appearing is suitable or not for amrit. Whereas in a group, it's very hard to differentiate whether certain people are suitable or not suitable. It's not a criticism of any panjpyari. It's a criticism of a system that is existing at the moment. Probably for saving time, it could be, or probably just to increase their numbers. Only they can tell. But it certainly is not having the desired effect on the majority of people who get baptized. Some of them are very disillusioned afterwards. Something that does not happen. I've already explained that even in ordinary farming, the seeds cannot sprout in barren land or clayish earth. We all know that. Anybody knows anything about land? That if you put seeds in barren land or clayish earth, you won't get anything out of it. You've got to prepare the soil properly with fertilizers before anything grows. Seeds do not grow even in improperly tilled soil. When seeds are sown out of season and not sufficiently deep, they die. There are many saintly Sikhs in the Sikh community. Baptism conducted by them yields good results. But nowadays, there are so-called preachers, pracharaks, whose sole aim is to please rich people. They do not lead the life of contemplation or of divine naam. See, some of these preachers have got no naam in themselves. They don't even contemplate naam. They're just preachers. And they carry out these ceremonies. It is panjpyare, five who baptize, selected from such people that yield poor result. How can they inspire a devotee with what they themselves do not believe and practice? If they do not meditate themselves on Naam, how can they preach that? How can they inspire the others? They give formal instructions about Guru Mantra, but cannot give spiritual inspiration of the divine Naam. Even those who go for baptism do so with some other motive than entering spiritual and meditative life. Those who baptize are generally devoid of spiritual insight and are therefore incapable of testing those who come for baptism. What I was saying there is that the panjpyare who are selected from these preachers, they haven't got the quality themselves to really recognize the deficiencies in the person who has come. Many clever preachers thus go on baptizing people indiscriminately for the sake of money and popularity, saying, oh, I have given amrit to 1,000 individuals or 100,000 individuals, just to make the numbers up. Paisa said, it's not a number game. It's an individual game. It's a journey that each individual takes. Guru Gobind Singh baptized only those who are prepared to sacrifice their life and possessions for the Guru's cause. But nowadays, people like to get baptized by politicians who are utterly devoid of spirituality. Those who lead a meditative life avoid using their spiritual powers and gifts and prefer living in solitude. This is the reason why educated people run after hypocritical saints and imposter gurus for peace and solace. Some of these imposter gurus and hypocritical saints go to the extent of distorting interpretations of certain hymns of Sikh scriptures and explain them away to suit their own tastes and motives. Our so-called preachers do not even have fundamental knowledge of Sikhism. So now, come to the point, it is no use entering devious discussion and raising one question after another. Express all your doubts and questions once for all. I will try to explain them all to you. At that point, we stop.